Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening, and thank you so much for spending some time with us wherever you are, whenever you are. You could be listening to us anytime now. If you weren't here spending time with me, I would just be a silly guy talking to himself, and that wouldn't be really too good. So my guest tonight is the wonderful Terry Griffin Williams, who has her own show on Empower. But she's going to be talking to us about shamanism and a new program that she's starting. But first, tonight's metaphysical musing. And it seems appropriate, since tomorrow is Veterans Day, to talk a little bit about veterans and what that celebration is about. Another thing that we could be calling it is Survivor's Day. They have all gone through hell. They've all gone through an extraordinarily difficult, frightening, horrific experience. And most of them come back with injuries. It was only in the Vietnam War, when helicopters were always right next to the battlefield, that so many soldiers survived, that they got them out fast and to a hospital fast. And people that would have died in prior wars got to come home. But they came home with their injuries, with their physical injuries, with their emotional injuries. And I don't think any of us that haven't done that can understand in any way what they go through. But we can understand that it was a challenge and pain that we don't understand. And so I always have a hard time with the people that just say, oh, thank you for your service, especially politicians, since they're taking away all their benefits and doing really horrible things to veterans. But it's more like, I'm so glad you made it. I'm so glad that I can be here with you, that after all that, you're still here and you're still here with me in this moment. And let's be thankful for that. So it's not about flags, and it's not about marching bands, and it's not about all that stuff. That's the stuff that they do to get people to go into wars. It's really about honoring what these people have been through and being grateful that you get to spend some time with them. So it's Veterans Day and it's Survivor's Day, and let us all be grateful. I am very grateful to all of them. And that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we get to hang out with one of my favorite people, Terry. Thanks so much for being on the show. We always have such a good time.
Oh my God. Thank you for having me here. And I really have to catch my breath, because yes, we do have a great time. However, that metaphysical musing totally hit my heart. So today would have been my dad's 92nd birthday. Wow. He died 25 years ago, and he was 22 years ago. He's pinching me, like saying, no, 25 yet, sister, right? Anyway, he was in the Battle of the Bulge and was captured and was in a POW camp for 4 months. So, yes, oh my God, thank you for their service and the survivors. You know, I wouldn't be here if he wouldn't have survived.
Right.
You know, well, at least not who I am right now. And they did go through hell. Oh, my God. And it's a hell that we could never, as you said, never understand, having not been there. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. And my dad also was in World War II. He wasn't a combat soldier. He was a supply sergeant. And they always say that if they looked at what the supply sergeants did, they all would have been court-martialed. But if they hadn't broken all those rules, everybody would have died.
Yeah. Well, and no matter where you fall in the chain, you're affected by it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You cannot help but be affected by it. My son, all he ever wanted to do was be in the Army. That's all he ever wanted to do. And about 3 weeks before his boot camp was finished, he was injured, and he got a medical discharge because they basically ruptured his shoulder. And I say all the time, in fact, I had this conversation with somebody today, that although I know his dream didn't come true, mine did, because I didn't want him to go. I didn't want him to go. I mean, I honored his passion and his love for his country and wanting to serve. However, I'm glad he didn't have to witness that, because it changes you beyond anything we can comprehend.
And there are so many stories like that. My dad was in his 30s when he had tried to enlist and he was too old, and then they drafted him.
Wow.
And so everybody called him Pops, and he was a pain in the neck because he was a grown up already. You know, he wasn't a kid. And so his infantry unit was supposed to ship out, and he said the wrong thing to the wrong person. And they said, okay, we're going to send you to the Army Air Corps, which was, you know, supposed to be this big, terrible thing to do to you. Mm-hmm. And his unit went to North Africa and was wiped out.
Oh my God.
That saved his life.
Wow. Oh my God. You know, talk about the Adjustment Bureau.
Right.
Right, or something, like, you know.
He had a bunch of stories like that where things happened in strange ways that kept him out of trouble. Mm-hmm. And other things where, you know, he'd mouth off to an officer and they'd say, well, we're going to do this to you. And he'd go, yeah, but you need me to do this job. And I can't mm-hmm. do that job if I'm a private.
Wow. Well,
he was a character.
He really sounds like he was. Definitely.
Yeah, he's showing up now and laughing a lot. you're still telling that story. So the question I always ask my guests is, how did you wind up doing this? You know, what was your walkabout? How did you wind up doing shamanic work?
I figure I've probably been doing it my whole life, you know, and didn't have words for it, didn't know what it was. But I feel like it's something I had done my whole life, like journeying. I used to resort to hiding in the trees and, mm-hmm. you know, laying on the ground in the backyard. So I'm sure that I was practicing some type of shamanic journey, but didn't have the words for it. And my son, that same son that went into the military and came home, thankfully, he was injured in an accident when he was two. And the chief of staff of the hospital said he would never regain full mobility. Well, coincidentally, mm-hmm. somebody showed up at my house and had just returned from studying energy healing with a guru in India and started working on my son. Fast forward, cast comes off, pins come out, and my son literally has 90% mobility of mm-hmm. that arm. And didn't even need physical therapy anymore. So that kind of shifted my thinking. You know, at the time I was young and open to things. I certainly wasn't going to go back to school to become an orthopedic surgeon. So I delved into metaphysics and energy healing and Reiki. And at some point somebody said to me, have you ever looked at shamanic work? And I was always infatuated as a youth with the terminology medicine woman. Not that I think that's what I am. However, when they said that, that's the first thing that came to me. And, you know, fast forward 15, 20 years, and I can't imagine my life without this work. I'm sure you can't.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? We get blown away by things constantly, and yet it is the foundation for everything that I do in life. And I never stop studying. You know, right now I'm actually studying with Joan Wilcox, who you should have on your show one day. She's amazing.
Cool.
She has been studying with the Kiro Shaman in Peru for 25 years. And she shares their wisdom in just a really beautiful format. So I'm studying with her. I've done some work with Sandra Ingerman. I've studied Alberto Villaldo's work. And one of my, you know, dear friends here in Michigan, Lori Lipton, who really was my base for having somebody local, you know, a local group that I could turn to and really practice with. And it's been amazing. It's an amazing journey.
It always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, my joke is, you know, my junior high school guidance counselor would be totally shocked at where I wound up.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't even do it with drugs.
Right.
Right? I mean, it's like, could you imagine?
Yeah, I was supposed to be an electrical engineer and save the world from the communist menace.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're saving the world in a different way.
Right.
One
right.
soul at a time.
Right. And it's all energy. So it is electrical engineering, I guess. But no, that's not what he meant.
Well, you know, it's interesting when we were talking about war veterans and what they've seen. Of course, we can't even imagine what they've seen. However, in shamanic work, you see some things. You know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, demonic stuff, and you know, we see a lot of things. And sometimes I feel like it's a gift and a blessing to be able to work through that and to help people. And other times, like we were saying, is okay, no, today's not a good day to do that stuff. Right?
Right, right. And there are definitely, especially at this point on the planet, a lot of it is a battle. And there are forces of darkness and forces of light, and there is a struggle going on, and sometimes I am right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All the way around, as I'm thinking about what you just said, I'm thinking, yeah, all the way around. You know, sometimes you're in the middle of it physically, emotionally, and spiritually because of what you take on, and sometimes you're right in the middle of it, you know, with a client or a friend or a loved one as you're mm-hmm. trying to help them deal with the energy that is zipping around them. Right?
Absolutely. So tell people a little bit about your practice and what you're doing and how they could plug into that.
Well, I recently finished creating a course online called The Shamanic Journey Practice, a 30-day guided introduction to the shamanic journey. And it came to me in a shamanic journey, and it just unfolded so naturally and beautifully. It is 30 days of inspirational intentions on what you can journey about. Anyone that jumps onto the course, every day they'll be prompted with a new intention for the journey. It could be, you know, meeting your spirit guide, meeting a spirit animal, learning to heal something, creating your own medicine bag based upon the guidance of your helping spirits, and it comes with MP3s of drumming and music and an ebook, and it's really been an amazing process. I'm deeply, deeply honored that Sandra Ingerman endorsed it. I really only reached out to 4 people to endorse it, and one of them said she doesn't endorse anything for anybody, just the way it is. And the other one never responded. I probably should reach out to her again. Maybe she didn't get it. And the other two graciously, you know, it was Sandra Ingerman and Lisa Coffey. And I feel really honored that someone as revered as Sandra Ingerman and Lisa Coffey in her practice of Ayurveda, that they gave me their blessings with it. That's what I'm doing. And I hope a lot of other people do it with me.
Good. Good. I know that you're launching something new now that you're excited about. You want to talk about that?
Well, that's actually what it is. So I did a beta testing. I did a 30-day beta test with it. And the official launch is coming up on the 15th of November. And I'm sure you'll have a link on your website so that anybody that's interested in it can click on that link right from your site and see it. There's videos on it that kind of walk you through what is a shamanic journey in the most basic forms. You know, this is really the most basic form of introduction, although I do have a few of the testers that have been journeying for years and, you know, are practicing shamans and have absolutely loved it. So I'm hoping that you're going to take it as well, David. Of course, it's my gift to you. You know, I would love for you to take it, love your feedback, love your opinion, that kind of thing. But it's really been a process. And many of the things that my own clients have asked have come up within this shamanic journey practice program. You know, for example, even what is a shaman and what is a shamanic journey? And the biggest question was always, how do you do it?
Right.
You know, how do you do that? So it answers all of that and so much more.
Well, I always like to tell people that Einstein's work was basically shamanic journeying.
Agree 100%.
You know, however he did it, and I think he did it with music. He played violin. He would get himself into a trance state and then ask a question and then relax into seeing what the answer was and have an experience of it, have a vision of what the answer was. And of course, he could come back and do the math, see whether the stuff that he was seeing was possible in terms of the physics and completely changed our understanding of all kinds of things and did it with that intuitive shamanic journeying type of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I hear people say how, well, he had ADD, he was this, he was that, and I'm like, no. First of all, he was brilliant. He was a genius. And he allowed himself, as you said, that space to really get quiet, get into that trance-like space and allow whatever was going to come to him to come through instead of fighting it or instead of saying, you know, it's just a dream. This is just my imagination. I was, talking with somebody the other day and it was her first time really journeying. And she's like, well, how do I know it's not my imagination? And I said, and how do you know it isn't. You don't know the answer to either one. So just allow the process to come through and take that information and or not, you know, but there's a possibility that you can take that information, that vision, that sense, that knowing, whatever, however it comes to you, because not everybody, you know, gets a movie playing out in their vision. It's different for everybody.
Right.
But however it comes to you, go with it. And you might really be surprised.
Yeah, there's a wonderful magician, a different tradition, named Lon Milo Duquette. And one of the things he says is, you want to know whether it's all inside your head? Yeah, it's all inside your head. You just don't have any idea how big your head is.
Oh, I love that. Can I use that? I'm going to use that. Oh, my God. I love that. And it's so true.
Right.
You know, we let our ego dictate us and tell us, yeah, it is inside your head. You're crazy. You're making this up, you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what? If I'm making it up, it is pretty freaking awesome. I like making it up. I like making this stuff up. I'll go with it anytime.
You know, the thing I always say about shamanic work when people don't believe whatever they're not believing is, well, what do you do with the results? I know you don't think this is possible, but what do you do with the consistent results that I get all the time?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because it's all about results. You know, the shamanism is about results. There's something going on, and you're attempting to make a positive change in whatever it is has been brought to you. And if nobody's getting positive changes, what are you doing?
Right. Then you need to move on to somebody else, you know, or send them to somebody else. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, very similar, you know, that it's really about, you know, you say positive, I say empowerment, and it's the same thing. You know, you're getting results that are empowering the client, the other person, the other soul that you're working on behalf. And if it's not helping them, then you better run, find somebody else, you know, find somebody else that it's working for. And I mean, there have been people that I've kind of felt like I was stuck. I couldn't take them further. I couldn't kind of reach whatever it was. They weren't getting that positive result, or they weren't feeling that empowerment. Very few that's happened with in the last 15 years, but there has been some. And at that point, I'm not, you know, too proud or stuck in my ego to say, you know what, you need to call so-and-so. We're at a standstill here. You need to call so-and-so because there's something else here that needs to shift, and I'm not the person to shift it for you.
Right. Right. So,
it's interesting when that happens, but I'm not, you know, I'm not too full of myself enough to say that. In fact, I saw somebody a few weeks ago and I said, you need to go deeper than what I'm doing. You need a different kind of soul retrieval. I'm not the one to do it. And I referred her to two of my colleagues because it just I wasn't the right one for her. So.
Well, and that's always a possibility. It's got to be the right person at the right time. So since my work is remote, it's even more difficult for a lot of people to wrap their heads around, and it's even more dramatic that there are results.
Oh, yeah. It's, to me, working remotely is, there's not a truer test. There's not a truer sense of our work than right. when we work remotely. My husband and I were having a conversation this morning about that. He doesn't practice this stuff. I'm so thankful that he supports me in the way I show up. It's not his practice, but that's what we were talking about. You know, we were talking about, I'm here in Michigan, and I talk to somebody in China, and I pinpoint what is happening with them and how to help them move through that.
Right.
And I'm in Michigan. It is amazing that you do not have to be in the same room, you know, just like you and I having this conversation. It's crystal clear, and I feel like you're next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is truly amazing. And that is the first time that I experienced that with somebody, and they felt that sense of empowerment with after we worked together. I was in awe, you know, I'm on my knees saying, oh my God, right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this. How, you know, this is so amazing. I want more. I want more. I mean, it was just amazing.
Well, speaking of more, we are going to have to go to the break.
Okay.
I want to make sure people have your web address.
ShamanicJourneyPractice.com is the new class that I've launched online, and my website is soulpractices.com. Of course, all that information is there too. So thank you. Thank you for letting me share that again.
Oh, absolutely. And so we will be back shortly, and unless we get taller, my guest tonight is Terry Griffin Williams, who has her own show. What's your show?
Soulful Living with Terry Williams.
Okay, and check that out as well. We will be back with more. This is David Franklin Farkas on the Farkas Files on Empower Radio. Don't go nowhere. We're going to have more fun.
listening to Empower Radio, an entire radio station devoted to your personal development, expanding your conscious awareness, and empowering positive change. Meet our hosts and listen online at EmpowerRadio.com, on iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher Radio, or iTunes, or download the Empower Radio app for your smartphone or tablet. It's free in the App Store, and it lets you listen to our shows and podcasts on demand. Empowering people, empowering change. Empower Radio, online at EmpowerRadio.com.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, it is. This is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh, yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
I think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Smile. You found Empower Radio.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Terry Griffin Williams, and we're talking about her new shamanic journey practice program, which sounds really exciting.
Well, thank you. I personally think it's very exciting.
That's good.
Hey, that's good. I loved that commercial about the hologram Doberman. And Dave 2037. And I was going to say, is that you they're talking about?
I don't know. I just watched a silly movie that was about time travel. And the whole movie is, you think the guy is a complete idiot, and at the end of it they actually disappear. It was very cool.
Oh wow. So what movie was that?
Safety not guaranteed.
Okay, right. And it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Cool.
He puts an ad in the paper about going with him to time travel, and it says things like, you must bring your own weapons, and
oh my gosh. Oh, that's pretty funny. Well, I'll have to make sure I write that one down for my husband and I. We're always looking for, that sounds like a movie that would be up his alley.
Yeah, it's got enough juicy stuff to be good for the nerdy side, and it's just silly. It's wonderfully silly.
That's good. We need silly, especially
absolutely.
These days, you know, we totally need silly.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, have you watched Orville?
No, I have not watched Orville.
check it out and you can tell me what you think.
All right. I'm writing that one down too. For sure. Yeah, I will definitely do that. So do I get Orville on Netflix or where do I find that?
Orville is on Hulu.
On Hulu. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Got that done. I'm learning all of these new ways to access movies like Hulu and Netflix. And my brother just told me one today that starts with a V that's kind of like Hulu.
Voodoo. And
Hoodoo. Is it called Hoodoo?
Voodoo.
Voodoo. Yeah, Voodoo. That's it. Yeah, so I'm learning. Hopefully I'll be able to get rid of cable and well, start using all that stuff.
I can give you a bunch more tips when we're done, because I watch everything that way. I've got a Roku TV.
Awesome. We'll definitely have to follow through with this, because I know it's just so outrageous, you know, the cost of cable and all that other stuff. But again, that's something we can talk about later, right? Can you guys hear me okay?
We just had a distortion on the line, and I don't know what in the world that was. It happened for a little while before, too.
Oh, somebody wants us to get back on topic and stop talking about television.
That could very well be.
I'm sure that's what it is. Yeah, save the conversations for later. Right?
Something like that. So I'm curious, in terms of your program, what methods of journeying you touch on?
So basically, I teach people how to journey to the upper realm, the upper realm, the lower realm, the middle realm, and keep it really light. I guide them through a process in the beginning of what a very basic journey is. I kind of treat it, for this program's perspective, like a type of deep meditation. You know, when we meditate, we're originally taught to try to shut our mind off, right? To stop the monkey mind and not pay attention. And so when I teach the basics of shamanic journeying, which I have in the program, I tell people, this is not where you're going to shut your mind off. You know, this is where you're going to allow your mind, for, you know, lack of a better word right now, but you're going to allow your mind to witness what's happening. And at some point, maybe really be an active participant in it. You know, so we talk about meeting your higher self in the upper realm, you know, seeing yourself in a few years from now, and maybe talking to that self and getting some information and feedback on how to help you move from where you're at now to where that, you know, to where your higher self is. I guide people on meeting with a personal spirit guide, not necessarily, you know, somebody that's been with them forever, but just a personal spirit guide in the lower realm. And we talk about self-healing and gratitude. I do a really nice journey on gratitude where I talk a bit about it ahead of time. Wow, it's weird. My lights are all flickering off and on right now.
Mm.
Wow. I wish my Skype was on video so you could see it. That was really weird. But really talking about gratitude for the spirits that you're connecting with, you know, your helping spirits and your ancestors and being in that place. That's really one of my favorite journeys that I guide them through, and I don't guide people through the whole journey. In the very beginning, the very first journey that I share with them, I guide them through a journey. And after that, I just kind of give the intention and talk about what they could set their intention for the journey, where they may want to journey to. And towards the end of the program, I focus more on journeying where you want to go. You know, maybe you're more comfortable journeying in the upper realm. maybe you're more comfortable journeying in the middle realm. Maybe you're more comfortable journeying in the lower realm. So I kind of leave that up to them. And I provide MP3 drumming music and, I mean, MP3 drumming and then MP3 music, because I found that some of my students do not like the drum, that they cannot use that as their driver and their connection to the shamanic journey practice.
Yeah, that's been my experience. You know, drumming circles on the guy way in the back against the wall.
Yeah.
it's way too much.
Yeah.
But for some people, that's their way in. So.
Right.
And a very traditional way in.
It is a very traditional way in. In the course that I'm taking right now, which I really find it fascinating, but this course with Joan Wilcox, she talks about two things. She talks about, you know, we talked a little bit about negative energies, you know, and evil forces, that kind of thing. Well, the group that she worked with, the Kuro Shaman that she worked with, they don't believe in that. They believe that energy is just energy, and that there are no, there's nothing really good and there's nothing really bad. There's dense energy and there's light energy, which, you know, to many people would be the darkness, right? That evil would be that density. And she also talks about that they don't necessarily practice the shamanic journey, that they're in a state of journey, that their particular culture, you go into a journey like that. You don't need the drums.
Right.
You don't need a sonic driver. And that's me. I mean, I like it all. I'm open to all of it. You know, I like going to drumming circles. I like listening to music. I can sit down in the middle of my kitchen and go into a journey. I can access that at any time. But, you know, so I get it. And I understand that, you know, and I appreciated that not every culture practices with the drum and needs it.
And there are a surprising number of shamanic traditions where basically you're taught to go where you need to go when you need to go, without a whole lot of fanfare and ceremony. And it, you do what you need to do to learn how to shift your energy that way.
Mm-hmm.
But, we got to do something. Let's do it.
Right. So that'll be the next course. You and I can teach it together, right? We can teach people how to, journey on the spot. Forget about Johnny on the spot. We're going to do journey on the spot, right?
Well, it's right. Right. And then there's also, I was going to say the issue, but the experience of living in the physical and the non-physical at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. But as a shaman, that's our reality, right?
Right. Right.
We're in many different worlds, right? I mean, we have a foot here and then we have a foot God knows where.
Right.
Where else that might be, you know, as a shamanic practitioner. So, yeah, that became really important to me. One of my really close friends does not like the drumming at all. And he was my inspiration for providing the music. And I do tell people in the beginning of the class, you know, not everybody likes music. Not everybody likes drumming. After you begin to experience, you know, this is kind of like your, you know, this is definitely beginning, basic. This is an introduction for people to be able to experience the beauty of the shamanic journey. And, you know, always surrounded in with loving intent, you know, that's the one thing that I really reiterated with this is that you set the intention of this being, you know, a loving, an intentionally loving experience for you, and that you are only going to work with benevolent spirits. And I introduce people in how to create sacred space. And, you know, as I'm talking, I'm thinking, oh my God, that is something that we need to do for the future for another class, is how to create sacred space on the spot, like, you know, like the journey on the spot. So it's really was a rewarding experience for me to be open to saying, okay, how do I journey? Well, I journey all kinds of ways. So I'm going to present the ways that work for me and how I feel somebody that wants to begin journeying would want to be presented. You know, they want to know that they're safe, and that it's, if you're working with spirits, that freaks people out, you know. You know, we've had conversations where it can actually freak people out. You're working with, you're doing what? You're doing what? Right? So I really reiterate with every single journey that you're going to work with benevolent spirits. You're going to work with the highest, most loving spirits, angels, guides, ancestors. That's what you're going to do for 30 days. If you follow this program, that's what you're going to do. And then I have a list of resources in the end of who they can follow up with, you know, besides myself. There's a list of resources available for teachers out there. There's so many teachers, and how important it is to find somebody that you trust, that you're comfortable with, that that has the same similar teaching style that you can easily adapt and take in the information, because it can be a lot of information, not just from your, you know, your teachers here, but your teachers in spirit. There's a lot of stuff that comes, and you have to try to decipher all of that. So sounds
like a wonderful program for people to get a flavor for this and some skills. Sounds great.
Yeah, and there's a couple of people, as I think I mentioned earlier, a couple of people that are practicing shamans, and they really liked it because they could start the day, and if they were in a funk, you know, they could kind of go through the list, especially after the 30 days, they could go through the list and see if there was something in there that resonated with them, and then journey without having to, you know, having to do anything, to think about anything, to just go in and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. And it felt right to them. So it was great. It was really nice to have feedback from practitioners that are doing the work in so many different cultures, because it's all different. It's similar, but it's different, isn't it?
Right. Right. And if you're not in the culture so that you're always doing the process the way the culture does it, you wind up creating your own way of doing it, which is, as a solo practitioner, that's what happened for me. So there's a lot of people that do other methods and look at what I do and go, no, wait a minute, you know, they've got their judgments about it. It's like, yeah, well, it works for me. I've been doing it for decades.
Right. Well, and the whole concept behind the shamanic journey practice is direct revelation. So to me, it makes sense that you're going to do what works for you, because it's not just for you, but it's also the guidance that you're getting. That's for you. That's what direct revelation means. Somebody a few weeks ago said to me, well, my guides would never tell me that. And I said, well, I sure as heck hope not, because these are my guides and I don't want them telling you my stuff. You know, I mean, I said it jokingly, but then I said, really, I'm glad, you know, that's wonderful. The whole beauty of this process is that it's direct revelation. That's for you to hear. That's for you to witness. That's for you to see. So when I go into a journey, they're going to tell me what is for my highest good.
Yeah, and that's often difficult for people that have grown up in traditions that are more authoritarian.
Yeah.
And more systematic. You know, that this is what we believe. These are the rules, and don't go looking for anything else. And shamanism is really the opposite.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
Very, 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 very personal. And every time in so many ways, every time is different. You go, well, I bet it's going to be, oh, it's not anything like that.
Right. Right. Like, how many times have you said, well, normally, and then you're like, wait a second.
What does normal mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? Right. Like, there is no normal, you know,
and especially in these times of rapid change. Never have any idea what's going to be going on, what it's going to look like. It could be anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And yes, rapid change from all directions, you know, everything that is going on in this world, in the other worlds, and in the cosmos. And I mean, it's just an energetic, I can't say it on the radio. I don't think our station founder would like that. Hmm. But, you know, mess? It's like a mess. It's a hot mess. Right? I mean, at times it's a hot mess. And really, I am so thankful for this practice, because I would be a hot mess all the time. If I didn't have this practice, I feel like it has really grounded me. I cannot imagine what the last, you know, 15 years of my life would have been like if I didn't have this. And
right.
I reach for.
On the other hand, you know, when I go out doing my grocery shopping or something and trying to be normal, I often chuckle, and it's like, you have no idea what my life is like or what I'm seeing.
Right? Right. How are you today, David? Anything new and exciting? Every second.
Yeah, but I can't tell you about it.
Right. I can't tell you because I have to kill you, right? No.
Right? Yeah, what's that line? It would take charts and graphs and... you wouldn't understand that anyway, and then I'd have to kill you. Yep.
Yeah, right? It is it's a walk. That's for sure. It's a walk.
It's a walk, and it requires the courage to be there in every moment, looking at stuff that would freak out everybody else, and just go, so what do you want me to do?
Right.
And then there's the conversation. That'll work. Is that going to hurt?
Yeah. How do you do that? No. You're going to do what?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it does take courage. It takes courage every day to do this work. And every now and then my ego kicks in, and that, you know, an element of fear or... And I don't even know if it's fear, but I think I have to do that. You know, I have to do that.
Right.
You want me to do that? Can we get somebody else to do that? You know, and then the ego, you know, then I realize, no, you know, you are the one to do this.
They wouldn't tell you to do it if you couldn't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I remember somebody I loved dearly and loved dearly, needed a soul retrieval. And I kept saying, I can't do it for this person. I can't do it for this person. And one day I sat up and my guide said, you cannot not do it for this person. But for me, it was my ego, because I didn't want to see the ways that I had hurt this person. I'm human. I know I affected this person in some way, shape, or form. You know, I know that I caused them some suffering, and my ego didn't want to see that. And it was one of the most powerful moments of my life to really allow spirit to move through me and put my ego aside and, and just love.
Yep.
So it's quite interesting when that kind of stuff happens. And I like what you said that, you know, they're not going to give you what you can't do.
And one of my teachers used to say, how many times do you need to see something before you know that it's real and it can happen? How many times do you have to do something before you know that you can do it?
Right.
And how hard do you want it to be?
Right.
You know, can you, if you can make this really easy, make it easy. Don't make it hard. So all of my methods are very, very stripped down. You know, they're systematized and stripped down, so there isn't all the fuss. Mm-hmm. Because I had a teacher that, you know, was in my face about it.
Right.
So
I'm all about minimalism and simplifying.
Exactly.
Right? Simplify.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be hard. You know, going back to the teachings of the Kiro shamans, that's one of the things that they talk about too, is that you don't need tools, you don't need to extraction, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that, just simplify. If you only focus on the energetic piece of it, then your job is done.
Absolutely. So, you know, this happens every time we get together.
I know. We need to running
out of time.
Right. Right.
Let's give people your contact information again.
Okay. You can find my website, soulpractices.com. Everything that I do is on that page. And my new course is Shamanic Journey Practice. And of course, you can find me here on Empower Radio, Soulful Living with Terry Williams. Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This was great fun. And I'm happy to spread the word on the program because I want everybody to that would like to, that where it feels right, to be able to plug into it and get into that first group that's doing this. Exciting time.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It is. It's an exciting time. And it's simplified. How we ended our conversation there, it is simplified. It's simplified for you. So it's good stuff. Thank you.
Thank
you for just being a part of my life. I love you to pieces.
Yeah, and we really do have to chat other than on the radio. We can make that happen.
I think so.
My guest tonight is the incredible Terry Griffin Williams. And thanks so much for being on the show, Terry.
Thank you. And thank you to your amazing producer.
Anthony. And if the listeners are wondering, who is this guy David and what in the world does he do? You can find out at househealing.com. There are all kinds of ways to get in touch with me, including a link to schedule a free 20-minute phone conversation, and we can look at a person, place, situation, business, whatever it happens to be, see how my work might be helpful to you. If you want more about the show, the entire archive, we've been doing this for, I think, 7 years now, hundreds and hundreds of incredible interviews, is at thefarkasfiles.com. Isn't that clever? You can also plug into all of the programs from Empower using the new Empower Radio app for either flavor or smartphone. And that lets you get to the archive of all the shows and, you know, scan down through all the guests and see what feels right to you. As always, I want to thank the listeners because, first of all, thanks for your company and being here. But also, otherwise, I'm just a guy sitting by himself talking at a microphone. So this only has importance if there are people listening and you're a part of this. So thank you so much for being a part of the show. You're as important as the guests because you take this, all of this back out into the world where you are. So wherever you are, whenever you are, thank you one and all for spending the time with me. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here. Somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.
Yeah.